Rachel and I are putting together our wedding reception playlist. Mm-hmm. And I added Ginuwine's Pony to the list a little while ago, but now I'm worried that it might be a little too erotic for some of our family members.
What happened between then and now?
Huh?
Like, what made you change, you know? Because at one point in your life, you were okay with that. You're like, this is fine. And now you're too erotic.
I saw the song on Spotify, and I was like, oh, yeah. And I added it to the playlist. And I listened to it. There's a lot of sexual references.
It is a highly sexualized
song. It is a very sexualized, sexual-charged song. And it's even that bass line, that... It's like, oh, my God. That sounds like two people bumping it.
I don't remember the lyrics, but it's basically a reading of Equus, right?
The chorus is, if you're horny, let's do it. Ride it. My pony. My saddle's waiting. Come and jump on it.
Mm-hmm. I think I see what he's saying.
If we're going to get nasty, baby, first we'll show and tell. Till I reach your ponytail. Lurk all over and through you, baby, until I reach your stream. You'll be on my jockey team. So a lot of, basically a lot of equine, a double
entendre.
Not
even delicate, I would say. I think it's fair to say. Not particularly delicate equine references either.
Guys, whatever happened to that word? Do you remember that word horny? Like, remember when that was an okay word to use? And people were like, whatever, me so horny. And you just threw it in.
Yeah, you could just say it out loud.
When did we get so prude?
Well, I mean, there hasn't been a good Mike Myers movie released in a while.
Justin McElroy, and I know the best thing of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I know 10 pretty good things this week.
My name is Christopher Plant, and I know 0.5 of the things this week.
Together, we know 11.5 things between
There's
the
a lot
three
of
us.
This is 11.5.
Yeah, here it is. This is the besties, where we talk about the latest in news, culture, entertainment, sports, management tips, and everything else in between.
Management tips of businesses or sports management?
Yes. But today we're going to focus on video games. They're
blowing up.
They're blowing up. A lot of interesting games.
And now
it's a good time.
Are you talking about just Pac-Man? Or?
They're not just Pac-Man anymore.
Interesting.
Video games have come a long way since Pac-Man. Remember this? Waka, 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 waka.
I guess I done fell off right after Pac-Man.
Yeah, well.
Do you hear that knocking sound? On my end?
What's that?
That's my fucking cat. My fucking cat, when I don't let him outside, he literally knocks on the ground. Makes me think there's somebody trying to break into my house.
So this is the besties. And do you guys want to get it popping or pop and lock?
Yeah,
can I
kick it off? Because my thing is just sad, and I want to get it out of the way.
It's double sad because I remember when you were in the beginning stages of this game, you were emailing, you were furiously texting me like, he's back, the blue bomber. No, that's Mega Man.
You know what I did? I did that, you know, when this is a football analogy. When the football guy, he catches the football, right? And then 3 yards before the touchdown.
The receptionist, I think, is what they're called.
He drops the ball. And he starts dancing, and people are like, no, you're not in the touchdown zone yet. And he's like, what? And then he gets just nailed.
Only in this instance, you make it sound like he made this mistake at, like, the 50-yard line.
Yeah.
He's like, I've done crossed it. Like, you actually are only halfway there.
It's more like he caught the punt, and then he was like, great job. And then he just set the ball down.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this game called Sonic Lost Worlds. And if you have not jumped on this Sonic cycle... It's a lot like all the other ones, where...
Where are we at on the grand wheel?
On the great wheel of Sonic?
Yes.
There's no place. It's this amorous... Where can you ever be on it but sad?
Yeah.
You know? Like, there's the illusion of happiness, but reality is, deep inside, you're just rotting away. You're spinning towards mortality. So that's that game.
Tell me your experience in chronological order, because you really were like,
so,
here he is, the guy I remember.
Let's go through the cycle. So the Wii U doesn't have any good games, but Sega's like, hey, we got a new Sonic game. It's like Mario Galaxy. We're working with Nintendo on it. And I'm like, no way, he's coming back. And Sega's like, you're right, he is. And here's some screenshots to prove it. And I'm like, damn, that looks slick. So,
is this Wii? You played it on Wii U?
Yeah, yeah. So then I email Arthur, and I'm like, Arthur from Darfur, I need this game. I want to review this game. And he's like, no, you don't, Chris. And I'm like, yes, I do. Don't tell me what to do, Arthur. And he's like, okay, here
you're
it is.
You're not my old dad.
So I get the game, right? And I put it in, and I play one level, and then I immediately begin my victory tour. I sign on to Campfire. I tell everyone that this is the Wii U's killer app. I start texting my friends, my childhood friends. I'm like, guys, remember when we played Sonic? The game's back. You better buy a Wii U now because they're not going to be in the store shelves.
You texted Jaleel White. You're like, get ready for your career to fucking explode, my man.
Dude, you know who the modern voice of Sonic is? It's the guy who does Batman in that new Batman game.
Jaleel White?
That. Sure, yeah.
Pray to me. Oh, where's Falcone? Chili dogs.
Okay, so now I've already told everyone how great the game is. So I'm like, okay, I guess I should go back and play more of this game because it's so good. So then I play another level.
This precautionary tale is exactly why we finish the games that we review.
Yeah, we don't just do one level. I play the next level, and it's 2D. And I'm like, 2D, great. I didn't know there were going to be 2D levels in this. I love 2D Sonic. And then I'm immediately like, wait a minute, this is not fun. And I'm like, no, that's just, you know, they just had to put that level there because they needed to get rid of it, put it early, you know, get it out of the way. And what I realize is that is the second best level in the game. Just keeps going downhill from there to the point of absurdity where, you know, this thing that you do in video games, like with a boss battle, right?
Yeah.
Where you're like, hey, we need to show people how to beat this boss. So you add, like, glowing weak spot or, you know, flashing red or something like that. What they decided to do was not that. They just don't tell you how to beat things. And then they kind of will give you something that is like a hint of, like, hey, look at this guy. He's about to fall. You should probably jump on him. And then you'll do that, and it's, like, got you instant death.
Great.
It's one of those tricks. And that's the entire second half of games. Yep. The final boss, I'm just going to spoil it because you should not have to go through this. And if you do make it to it, I'm helping you because I'm explaining how to beat it. The final boss, you just are jumping up a 2D environment, right? And you're like, this is great. I'll just keep doing this until it lets me hit this guy. And then you get to the ceiling and you die.
Oh, no.
Do you want to know the trick for how you kill it?
Yeah.
So when you're climbing up, there are certain blocks that you can jump through. And logically, you would think, oh, these are to, you know, kind of hinder my way up this environment. Wrong. You're supposed to not break them going up, which is a real treat, and then wait for the giant bad guy to get right beneath them and then jump on the blocks that you normally break with your head by jumping up. You want to jump down on them now, which you've never done earlier in the game. And you do this like 15 times, and you pray that you do it before you reach the ceiling and die.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, it's intuitive, and by intuitive, I mean like you want to put a gun in.
What happened? Why did they? How did they make it good at the beginning and then shitty at the end? Is it just a level design thing? What happened?
I have a theory about all Sonic games, and it goes like this: they take their budget, right? And they go, here is 75% of the budget. Hey, first level team, here is 75% of the budget. Do with it what you want. And make a great first level. And we'll use it for all the demos. And then, with the other, whatever remains of the budget, maybe it's just scraps, you know, they give that to, like, the B team, and then they just laugh. And then they lock them in their windowless basement, and they say, get it done in 2 months. They say, that's not possible.
we'll kill your family.
Get it done. My point is, you shouldn't play it. And why did I say it was the best? Oh, it was the best first level. So there you go.
Okay. Let me bounce this important survey off you. What was the last good Sonic game that
was made? It was the one before this. Sonic Generations and Sonic Colors are okay games.
Sonic Generations blows on ice. I had an E3 experience where I played Sonic Generations... some demo, and it was one of those levels where you're running downhill while a truck chases you from behind.
Oh, sure.
And I died probably 300,000 times. during the demo. And I had a pretty good reason for that. It's because I was running at a billion miles an hour towards the fucking camera.
Yeah.
I would run into things that would appear like a fraction of a second before, you know, they would pop on the screen, and then I had a fraction of a second and jump over them because I was running towards the camera at goddamn light speed. And one of my friends in the industry went up and played the demo after I did, and the PR handler for the demo talked shit about how shitty I was and said this last guy was Sue Griffin was super shitty at this Sonic game. And when my friend told me this, I wanted to go back to the booth and say, is it possible that I'm not shitty, but that there's never been a good Sonic game because this franchise fucking sucks? That there's never even the fucking Genesis games. Why the fuck? Do you want me to play a platformer where everything is going by at a billion miles an hour? Jump on that. Oh, you missed it. Fuck. You fucked up. How come you didn't see that at 300,000 miles an hour, you fucking idiot? Like, what the fuck? Why do people enjoy these fucking games? They're all terrible.
I call it the devil's deal. And here's how it works. There's two sides to the deal. The Sonic fans will buy all of the Sonic games when they come out, right? But in return, Sega has to make the Sonic games like old Sonic games, and old Sonic games suck, so they don't get new people to buy Sonic games. And then,
what was the best Sonic game? What's the best Sonic game?
There are no great ones. And what's the best one? I loved Sonic 1, 2, and 3 when I was a kid, and I go back and play them, and I recognize
they're miserable. They are miserable, miserable experiences. They are a game. It's a rare type of game. It has a rare shitty quality where no matter what, you feel like you're playing it wrong. That is just perfect. Just how I like it. The best Sonic game, by the way, is Sonic Adventure for the Dreamcast.
No, Sonic Colors is the best.
Sonic Colors is pretty good.
It's pretty good.
I just don't fucking get it, man.
You know what the best Sonic game is? No joke? Sonic Racing Transformed. That game is excellent.
That's because it's a racing game. From a design standpoint,
it makes sense.
Because it's like the regular old Sonic games are almost like a racing platformer. It tries to build this sense of inertia and momentum, but then it multiplies it by 1,000, and then you run into something, and either it kills you or it brings you to a dead stop. Hey, fun. Like, the idea of momentum is so important to platformers, and it seems like just because Sonic's gotta go so fucking fast, like, they just can't get that shit right. Go play Rayman Legends. Like, that's a game that makes you feel like you're going really, really fast, but you're still in control, and you can see the shit you're supposed to navigate. Like, I just don't get... I've never enjoyed a Sonic game, except for Sonic Adventure, because of the chows.
Yeah, Sonic Adventure is pretty good.
The chows are cows. K.O.'s?
Chaos.
Chaos. Yeah, either way.
What was the one for the Wii where you were? It was all Arabian Nights themed?
That one was not awful. Sonic Lost Arabian Nights? I don't know.
I think it was that.
Yeah, I think that's... Oh, no, The Secret of the Lost Rings? Is that it?
Sonic versus Aladdin at the Arabian Olympic Games.
Mm-hmm. Hey, guys.
I'm sorry I got worked up.
I want to thank you for helping me just work through that. And now let's never talk about it ever again.
I don't understand why this is like their premier franchise. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Justin, did you see what I did?
What else do you want them to have? I mean,
a fucking released mother. You want to get this started? You want to like this, Wick?
Yeah, Griffin. There's no other Sega properties that people care about.
Where's Phantasy Star? Where's Phantasy Star Online 2?
Piss them. Is that what you were gonna say?
I didn't. Yeah, dog.
I thought you were gonna say Shenmue.
Where is Shenmue? What are you guys doing? Release Shenmue for Vita. There has never been a device more perfectly suited for a game than Shenmue and the PlayStation Vita. Think about that shit. Think about it. Just think about it, Sega.
We'll think about it. We'll take it under advisement.
Can you pass it on to Sega, please?
I'll tell Sega, Griffin. Don't worry.
I was at Sega's headquarters. We walked by it in Japan, in Tokyo. And I wanted to just kick in the door and be like, what are you doing?
How do you think that would have gone over?
Probably not great.
right now or making a Sonic game.
Or making a Sonic game. What are you doing?
I love that because it's a Japanese company, you would have kicked open the door and you'd have been like, what are you doing? And they're like, we're making vacuum cleaners. This is floor two of Sega Sammy Corporations. Yeah. We have 20 floors of... Do you want apartments? Because that's floor five.
Can I talk about my thing? Because it's a game that makes me nothing but happy, as opposed to Sonic, which makes me nothing
well,
but befuddled.
Well, okay, let me make a suggestion. Your game is really good, and my game is okay. And
oh, you
want to
close
on
it. Okay, we'll work our way let's up. Hear yours then.
My thing is the best tutorial of the week, and it belongs to How to Survive. I know.
I watched a trailer for that game that was so butt rock, like, it just scared me right off. Do you know what I mean when I say that?
Yes, I know exactly what you're saying, and yes, I mean, yes.
Okay.
505 Games has done it again. They got a game out the door without letting me. they snuck past the castle guards and got their game out the door without anybody noticing. Now, this one we did actually get emails about. I just don't think we covered it. So maybe this one's on us. I don't know. They released Brothers with little to no fanfare, which is one of my favorite games of the year. They released Marlowe Briggs and The Mask of Death, which I talked about a few episodes ago and is really cool and neat, and I don't know why I hadn't heard of it. And now there's How to Survive.
I looked at some gameplay videos, by the way, of Marlowe Briggs. I watched some Let's Plays on YouTube. I'm convinced that you're the only person that ever finished that game without running into some sort of crippling game-breaking bug. If you search that game's title on YouTube, it's like, well, I fell down a pit and now I can't get out.
The end.
The end of the game.
How to Survive is a... I guess isometric, somewhat open world zombie survival game. You're thrown onto this island. It's similar to Dead Island. You're scouring the island looking for any sort of resources that you can find to strap together weapons. It gives you very little guidance in how to assemble certain things. So you'll see that you can combine two items, but it won't tell you what is going to happen. So that's if you like that sort of thing, it's pretty exciting. The basic combat is basically like sort of dual stick. You can...
It kind of looked like that Housemarque game, the Dead Nation.
Yeah, not a bad comparison. You aim with the right stick, and you actually have a reticle that zooms in and locks onto the target the longer you hover over, and depending on how good your aiming is and that kind of thing. Or you can just point a weapon, like a melee weapon, at the enemy and press the right bumper to attack with that. So the basic flow is you find a short tube, and then later you find a pneumatic tank, and then you find the handle from a harpoon gun, and you say, okay, I'm going to combine all these things. And you got a gun that shoots nails, and you have a lot of freedom as to like what things you can combine, and you can uncombine them after you try it. If it doesn't work out how you like it, the resources aren't lost. But the thing that I my favorite tutorial is the game's title is based on a book called How to Survive by this Russian guy named Kovac, who's in like welder's gear. And basically every chapter you find will describe with like funny little diagrams how to survive on the island. And it's something that could have been sort of boring and text boxy, but instead of that, they have given it a lot of personality, and the little diagrams and dialogue they have written for it is really funny. He also pops up as a in loading screens. It actually quizzes you on the information in the survival guide.
Oh, that's
and
fun.
if you get the answers right, you can get bonus XP. So that's pretty neat. It's just another one of those games that's really sort of under the radar, and I had not experienced before now, or heard anything about, or by experience I mean being aware of its existence in the universe.
Yeah.
But if you're into that sort of like the Dead Island, and you don't mind not having any sort of handholdy type stuff.
Is there a nation state or a global region in which 505's games are celebrated and anticipated is like maybe in like the Czech Republic. Like, oh shit, that new 505 jam's dropping next Tuesday. I can't wait.
The thing is, they've released a lot of good games, especially recently.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And I think that they're in part hindered because that's a terrible name for a game publisher. I mean, it's like, it's the pits.
Well, there's 505 games, there's 343 Industries, there's 345 games.
Part of the problem is that they are the company they're a subsidiary of is not any better. It's called Digital Bros SPA.
No way.
I swear to God. Is the name of the parent company.
505 is
the step up. The original name of this podcast was Digital Bros SPA.
I mean, just recently they've released they did Payday 2. They published that. They published Brothers: A Tale for Two Sons, right? Like I mentioned. And a lot of other Marla Briggs and some of the others, and now this Takedown. Have you heard about that one? That's a 505 joint. So they're making strides.
But even like years ago,
a lot of like solid stuff. But
yeah, they made IL-2 Stromovic, which was a good dogfighting game. They made that. Mm-hmm. What is that? Naughty Bear? Is that what it was called?
Naughty Bear, Trouble in Paradise, Panicking, something.
Yeah, that game was like it reminded me of those weird Dreamcast, like Sega Genesis games.
Toy Soldiers.
Yeah,
what was it called?
They just released a lot of weird things.
Yeah,
I admire
Final
that.
Fantasy.
Oh yeah, Final Fantasy 14 X2.
Did I mention Terraria?
Terraria.
They did the Terraria ports. Mm-hmm. I mean, like
Mass
not
Effect.
Developed.
Mass
published.
Effect 2. Mass Effect 3.
Sure, all the Mass Effect series. No,
not Mass not Effect accurate. 1.
They've made a lot of interesting strides, and they're a really interesting publisher. I think they need a slightly better identity before they can really get a foothold of like, oh, this is a 505 game. This is what that means.
Let me lay this one on you.
Give their company a new title right now.
Activision, right? Like, that sounds good.
Digital Bros.
Yeah, I guess so.
Just take your parent company. That's a way better name. Digital Bros? Are you kidding me? Yes, please.
Let's take it to halftime. Let's let the whistles blow. Let's roll some beer commercials. Beyonce is going to come out here and sing. Mm. And let's talk about our lives and what's important to us as people and as friends.
Okay. No, I don't know anything. Yeah, nothing's been happening.
Guys, I'm trying to get healthy. I turned 28 this week. So now I got to start building that body V. I got to put some muscle on my frame. I got to help.
What's your secret for the muscle?
So I'm doing this awful health DVD series called P25. No. It's like one of those things that you see late night on television where they're like
P25.
No, T, because it's hosted by Sean T. He doesn't have a last name. He has a letter and a period. And it's T.
He lost weight in his last name. His last name lost a few letters worth of weight.
Lost all of it.
What can you impart some secrets? Because I have my wedding is in like 42 days. I would love to drop like 20 pounds by then.
Here's the great thing about this DVD. Are you ready for it? All you have to do is give 25 minutes of your day. But, small thing, it's 25 minutes of excruciating pain. Because you're not allowed to stop. You can't stop. You got to focus. Sean T says so. You're doing it for him. Remember that. And it's basically you're alternating either running in place and then jumping up and down for 25 straight minutes or running in place and doing push-ups for 25 minutes.
This sounds miserable.
That sounds really bad. It sounds like when I used to Bob Harper, because I watched Bob Harper on The Biggest Loser, and he looks like a real fun guy that I maybe would want to be friends with. Like, if he was my neighbor, like, I'd want to hang out with him pretty much all the time. So Rachel loaned me one of his DVDs, and I was like, yeah, Bob Harper, I'll give it a shot. And he beat me into the fucking ground. He beat the shit out of me in a way that I still haven't recovered from. This was in February, I think, and I'm still a little bit out of breath.
Is that the P90X, or is that that's the Biggest Loser guy, right?
That's the Biggest Loser guy. P90X guy, I don't even know what his
fucking
deal is.
That's too much. I mean, the good thing about this is, like, I could still do it. Like, at the end of it, I'm, like, feel exhausted and kind of re-energized. I'll give it credit. Yeah. But, like, those other things, like, this guy, Sean T, period, has a thing called Insanity that they show commercials for afterwards. And it's basically like, hey, is T25 too easy for you? You should do Insanity. It's an hour of push-ups.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, great, I need to buy that DVD.
Is Insanity muscle confusion? Is that what's happening there?
Yeah, it's basically just to break you down so that when you look in the mirror, you just imagine you see what you want to.
I think any kind of exercise,
uh-huh.
anytime I put my body out, yeah. It's confused. It is thoroughly confused. When I have to, like, when I lived in Chicago, I would, like, run upstairs from time to time to, like, catch a subway because they come very infrequently. And every time I did that, my muscles would be so utterly confused. I would sit down on the train and my leg muscles would be like, what was that?
Excuse me,
we have a good thing going. Like, I will walk for you from time to time. But I didn't know that that was part of the arrangement. Stupid leg muscles. Do you guys want to hear about the best, what did I say? Oh, best endings of a game.
Yes.
So I've been on a really nice Steam kick lately. Play me some Gone Home, which is half off, I think, still by the time you hear this. I feel a little bit guilty that I waited until it was half off to play it. But I'm thrifty, you know, and man, what a tremendous little game.
It's already half off.
Yeah. Well, it's just for like a week long sale thing. But the game I want to talk about is the Stanley Parable. Which is the new version of a source mod of the same name that it came out a few years ago. And I want to be delicate in talking about it because I feel like a lot of its virtues come from the discovery and experimentation that you go through while you actually play the game.
Do you mind if we just put something right here? Like, if you haven't played the game and you haven't...
If you haven't played the game and you...
I would just walk away entirely. Like,
walk away right now.
It's been great talking to you guys this week.
Yeah.
Polygon.com, YouTube.com.
Polygon.com. Make sure you check it out, because send the world's best friends through the world's best shit. Okay.
Yeah.
No, you're right. If you want to go into the game, I would say similar to Gone Home, like, just go play it. Don't listen to this. Go get it. It's on sale, I think, still also a few bucks off, like 20% off for its celebrating its launch. It's really good. So, if you're still with us, I would say the basic premise of the game is it is a kind of, it's very funny, it's very humorous, it's not ironic at all, which I really appreciated. At no point did I feel like the game was being pretentious, even though it was covering some pretty heady ground. It is sort of about the, and again, this is entirely up for interpretation, like the futility of the illusion of choice in games. It's all about, does it really matter when choices are afforded to you in games when ultimately the choices you're picking are just options on a menu that were devised by the developers? And the way that it gets that message across is by offering you constant choices, whether they are clear and binary, like you have two doors that you can go through, which one do you go through? Or whether they're more sort of a dynamic, like there's a narrator throughout the entire game who is amazing. It beats Bastion for best narrator of games. That just narrates the action as you're doing it or sometimes before you're doing it so you can go against their wishes. And so that might come down to, you know, him saying you went through the left door and then you go through the right door. And then the story and the narrator sort of shift around you in that moment. Or maybe it's just he says you walk out of a room and you don't walk out of the room. You just sort of walk around the room. You just chill there and hang out there. And then again, the story and narrator sort of shifts around you. So as you can imagine, like, there's a lot of different ways that the story can go, depending on your actions, how you follow direction, how you defy the narration. And there are dozens of different endings that you can come to based on those decisions. And like a playthrough of the game is going to last you maybe 10 minutes. But there are so many different playthroughs to go through that there is a lot to explore and discover.
And what a playthrough even means kind of changes.
Yeah, it sort of takes that the recursive nature of how the game operates, and sometimes it like acknowledges that it never lets you forget the fact that you're playing a video game, which a lot of games break that fourth wall, and very few do it without being super heavy-handed about it. Like, for instance, if you just follow the narrator's directions the entire time, you'll make it to the ending, right? I would say that is the narrative ending of that game. But then there are so many different ways that you can throw monkey wrenches into the works. It also sort of encourages you to try and break the game. Like, I don't want to give it away because it's, like, one of my favorite things that happened, but there is a way to find a way out of the environment to, like, clip through the level, and you think you're so smart because you broke the game, but they saw that coming too. Like, that is sort of the whole story of the game, is that the developer of this game that you're playing knows everything, and they plan for everything you can possibly do, so, like, it's not really your story. It's an interesting subject to, like, people who are disappointed in Mass Effect 3's ending. It takes that concept of, like, your choices really don't fucking matter no matter what, and makes it the entire narrative premise of the game.
What's so crazy about it to me is, you know that you're being, I don't know, manipulated almost by this narrator, that this is very much not a person. This is, like, a pre-recorded thing that knows everything you're going to do. But when I did think I broke the game, it was so jarring to hear him be like, oh, no, I'm still here. You are a moron, essentially. Like,
yeah.
And I was prepared for this from the very beginning. And that it so clearly knows what people want to do when they come into a video game like this, and totally uses it against them to say something. I think that's why it doesn't feel so heavy-handed, is because it basically challenges you to attack it, you know? Like, what's that thing in Kung Fu where it's like, you know, let them use the force, like, use their own force against them, sort of thing?
Jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's
Krav Maga.
Like mental jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, and again, like, it's fucking hilarious. It is astoundingly funny.
And weirdly, in some of it's sort of sad.
Yeah.
And sort of, you could make the argument. Now, I'm not sure I would make this argument personally, but you could make the argument this is really a broader condemnation of just games, like, as a whole. And I think that's sort of a cynical take on it, but, like, you will not, I would say that you will not read games criticism that is a better criticism of games than this game is.
Yeah. Well, of this, like, type of game, I think.
Well, yeah, right, exactly.
I think the type of narrative game that is so popular right now is what this is, you know, a shot across the bow.
And it sort of points those things out to what they are. And really, you don't need this game to tell you what they are. They're choose your own adventure books, because no matter what, you are never going to have an agency over the video games that you play that was not already designed by someone else. You know what right. I mean? It's not like, of course, there's like user generated content shit that, like, sure, that doesn't apply. But in any game, in any Mass Effect 3, even if it didn't have, you know, sort of the red, blue, or green ending, even if the story that you had felt like your own based on the hundreds of decisions you had made that was perfectly tailored for you, it's just that. It's tailored. Like, you didn't make it. Someone else made it, and you lived it out. And that is sort of the entirety of what the Stanley Parable is all about.
Yeah.
But, man, is it fucking funny, though. Did you guys find the achievement that he there's an achievement listed in the Steam listing, so it's not a spoiler. There's an achievement called, I think it's like, click door 435 times. That's the title of the achievement. And so you try to do that in game, and the narrator's like, that's way too easy for an achievement. So he leads you on this like goose chase throughout the office, telling you to just click on all these different random items. And it takes like 20 minutes to just like go from door to door, clicking on the right things. And the whole time he's getting more excited and more excited, like, yeah, now that deserves an achievement. Like, it's so, some of the humor is just like really funny writing. Some of it is like so clever and meta without being a dick about it that you just like can't help but laugh. Especially if you can get the art game ending. God damn. I think we posted it, which if I had known the significance of the art game ending, I would have made sure that we didn't post it. It involves, I won't spoil it, but it involves you to repeat this one action over and over again for 4 straight hours.
Nobody should do that, by the way. Just go watch the video on Polygon. But
it's so good. So yeah, this is Stanley Parable. Oh, play the demo. The demo is cut not from the game. It is its own standalone little thing. And like it has basically all of the same elements of the Stanley Parable. It has a hallway museum showing off some of the great demos throughout gaming history. It's so fucking good, and it's free. And if that doesn't sell you on playing the full game, you're dead inside.
I'm excited to play it. I've played 2 versions before. I played the original, what is it, version? The one that was the Half-Life 2 mod?
Yeah.
And then I played the IGF build, which I have no idea if there's any major differences between this and that, but there was some absolutely insane stuff in that one.
That's really good, man.
Guys, there are so many good games. Do you remember
when
it was
so
like,
many good games?
You could just be like, oh, there's a new indie game out finally this month. Oh, thank goodness. Now it's like every week there is something I need to be playing.
This week, that should be Candy Box 2, by the way, everybody. Candy Box 2 is live.
And we'll talk about it next week.
We're talking about it next week. So gotta talk about it.
Put some comments and questions, because we'll hit it. We'll hit it hard.
Yeah. Can I do a live stream of Candy Box? Can you imagine anything worse?
Guys, I have a question before we wrap up.
Just to tease you, this Candy Box is an open world RPG action adventure dungeon crawler puzzle game. With a world map and everything. It is amazing.
I have a question for you guys.
I'm ready.
So, next Tuesday, I think, like, all the games come out. Is that true? Like, it's Battlefield, Batman,
AC4 is out next week, right?
AC4. All in the same week. And then the week after that, it's Call of Duty. Why would you do that? Why would you not release
any of those?
The
week after that.
Oh, no.
PS4. We're fucked, man. This is it. This is. We are on the peak of this fucking roller coaster of releases. Here it comes.
And you won't want to miss a second of that. So make sure you join us again. We're on Polygon.com until then, posting about all this good stuff, and you won't want to miss that either. So we'll see you next Friday for the besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best things?
Bestie!